Welcome to the Bridge Podcast. Thank you for listening to today's message from Pastor Scott. We pray that it helps you connect to God in a fresh new way.
So we are in part four of Kingdom Come. I want to welcome you to the Bridge. And I just hope that you appreciate the presence of God being made manifest in the house. I appreciate you who come on a Sunday morning ready to pour your hearts out before God. And in those moments, we become more aware of just how amazing he is. And so, I just wish I could just put that on, carry you all with me everywhere I go. Like you could be my background singers in life. Like I could just have Hillsong tunes and you singing. I'm in the office working on my laptop, and in the background, you guys are back there just kind of ooing. That would be fantastic. I believe this is going to be a special day for us. We're kind of rounding third on Kingdom Come. We've got a special day of your stories. And so the good news is I'm only going to preach for about 10 minutes today. And if you just fist pump, then you need to get right with Jesus. But we're going to take the rest of that time and hear some stories from some of you all. And I want to just to kind of remind you, make sure we're all in the right context this morning. But as we've said in previous weeks, the kingdom we belong to is not one built on blood and conquest of gold, but it's a kingdom of peace where rival rulers cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And again, that's what that video is really about. It's not about leopards and calves and lions and wolves. It's about the powers and empires of this world coming together in peace and laying down in a child that baby Jesus might lead them, because he is the new king. He is our king and our high priest. And so we have overcome not with swords, but by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we have overcome not by swords, but by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testimony is a word we use in the church world to mean we tell what God has done for us. And in the old church, it would be nothing. I might be talking like this and somebody just pop up randomly out of the blue and want to testify, and that's okay. And the next thing you know, it got kind of contagious. The next thing you know, 45 minutes later, we're still telling about the goodness of God. And so we would have those moments, and people would say, I just got to testify. I've got to testify. The old church, we would say things like, can I get a witness? And the church would go wild. All right, we still see that. T.D. Jakes will still say that. Can I get a witness? And 30,000 people will stand on their heads giving a witness to how good God is. And so today, that testimony is just like in a courtroom. The testimony goes out. And if you think about the final verdict in any courtroom case, the verdict or the judgment or the decision is come largely by the testimonies of the witnesses, by the testimonies of the witnesses. And so today we're going to hear the testimony of some of you, some of the witnesses about the character of God. Some of you might be on the fence about what you feel about God. Do you trust him a little, a lot, none at all? Are you all in with God? Are you tiptoeing? Are you got nine toes into the pool? Or are you just laying on the side, kind of dipping your fingertips in with God? But today what I want you to do is you leave today to hear exactly not just the God that the preachers talk about, not just the God that they sing about from the stage, but I want you to hear about the God that works and moves in everyday lives of people just like you. Before we go any further, I want to pray like we have been the last few weeks. Let's pray out loud together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. In the matchless name of Jesus we pray, amen. Again, the two critical central ideas that you want to embrace if you're really going to get into this Kingdom Come series are these two things. One is, the pathway to the kingdom of heaven isn't on the backs of our enemies and covered in the blood of our foes, but it is a path made for us on the beaten back of our Savior and by the shed blood of our mighty King. Again, the kingdoms of old, all the empires that have ever lived have had to shed blood or decided to shed blood to get what they want. They wanted to justify murder and genocide in the name of conquering, in the name of establishing the kingdom of their gods, whether it be the gods of the Romans or the Greeks or the Persians. or the God of the colonists when they came and began to eradicate the Native American. It's all the same at the end of the day. But that's not the kingdom that we live in. It's not the kingdom that we belong to. Our kingdom is in the pathway to this kingdom is on the back of our Savior and by His shed blood, our mighty King. And the second thing that you really want to try to embrace this morning and every day is our primary allegiance is not to a flag, but to a bloody cross, an empty tomb, and a resurrected King. And if you embrace those truths, then you'll be in position to really hear what the Word of God says in the Scripture. You'll be able to really embrace what the Word of God says in the Scripture. If you hear the Word of God, if you read the Scripture, like most American Christians, like most Western European Christians, then what you'll hear is a kingdom that's designed to make you rich and successful and to make you happy above all other things. But if you listen with the ears of the Spirit, and if you read the Bible, not just cut out your favorite verses, but if you read it in context, which is why we have for the last month or so have been diligent about reading through the books of the Bible so that we get the entire picture. Because I can make the Bible say anything, amen, if I just wanted to pick out a verse here and there out of the Bible. I could literally make it say anything that I wanted to say. But what we want to do is we read the Scriptures, we want to read it in whole, not just in pieces. And so if you read it as it's supposed to be read, and if you hear it with the Spirit of our King, then you'll realize that this kingdom, while it might make you happy, and it will make you happy, it may or may not make you rich. It's determined on whether that's your path or not and what you'll do with those riches. But what I can guarantee you is that it is a kingdom that is led by a servant King who models for us a life of sacrifice so that we can know what it looks like to unselfishly love those we come in contact with on a daily basis, and we let His kindness working in us lead them to repentance. Let me say that again. We allow His kindness working in us lead the world around us to repentance. We do not lead the world to repentance by putting their sin on a picket sign. We do not lead the world to repentance by looking down our noses and pretending that we never sin. And how could anyone else sin? We do not lead people into repentance by pointing fingers and judging and condemning. But we lead the world into repentance, into right standing, a reconciled state with God, Father, King, Creator, by modeling His love and kindness. And one of the promises that Jesus makes for those kinds of people, those people who are truly plugged into the kingdom, not necessarily that they said a magic prayer or that they come to church usually, but these are people who decide, I want to live as members of the kingdom. This is what Jesus has to say about those people in Matthew 6, 25 through 33. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He would certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Let's read that together, starting with seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So this morning we want to say, what exactly does that look like? What exactly does that look like? Well, we're going to find out. I've got a few people who have volunteered to come and tell their stories with us this morning, and so I'm going to have Mike, if you and a friend would make this be gone right here, and we'll get ready for some folks. We've got some stools. James B. and Mike, muscles in the house. Amen. Thank you. All right, and what I'm going to do is what I ask for, if you remember, always know that Scott asks you to do something, it's for a reason. is that I ask some of you, if you believe that God has done something in your life and impacted you in a positive way, then and you were willing to share it, to get with me, put it down on paper, and I wanted to hear about it. And the reason I wanted to hear about it was because that I wanted to bring you up here and have you tell your brothers and sisters in Christ just exactly what happened and what kind of change or impact that's made in your all's life. And so some of you said you would, actually none of you volunteered to do that, but I, by the Spirit of the Lord, I volunteered for you. And so I've got Mike and Stacy and Missy are going to come up here in just a minute. And then Julie, is Julie in the house? Julie isn't quite ready to share with you in person. Is that right, Julie? But do you have something written down for me? Let's get a runner. This is Bailey. This is one of my favorite people on earth, by the way. Bailey. The killer bee. Thank you, brother. And so I'm going to start off by reading Julie's. And again, this wasn't me asking you to tell why you love the church as much as me asking you to tell me what God has done. Because again, I think it's one thing to hear a preacher get up and tell you how good God is, and if you do this, and if you do X, and God will do Y. But I think it's important for us to be able to see in real life, real practicality, what does that look like. And so I'm going to read this with Julie. And Julie, remind me if you would, how long have you been coming to the Bridge? Since September of last year. Okay. All right. I started this journey less than a year ago, and I want to thank my sister and Dickie for being so persistent. And since I've rededicated my life to Christ, I've seen many changes within myself. As I become closer to Him, I've strengthened my relationships with my kids, family, friends, and coworkers. God has given me the strength and courage to show my children a better way. I'm proud of them for getting saved, baptized, and growing in their faith. Kelsey is so fearless now, and Bailey is determined to also bring his friends to Christ. To us, the Bridge means coming home to family. It's having a safe place to go to worship our Father without the fear of being rejected or judged. It's having an extended family that pulls together when times are tough. The Bridge is peace, harmony, and unconditional love. God knew what He was doing when He brought us here together. The Bridge has saved my family. And it has saved our lives. I want to thank all of you for being so wonderful and accepting. We love you all. And we love you, Julie, and Bailey, and Kelsey. That's probably why she didn't want to come up here, because she'd be the one crying in front of y'all. And that's weird, right? Awkward. So, also, Terry put something on the Bridge. So many of you did, but just I want to share this. Terry, is it okay if I share what you wrote last night? Okay. Terry, how long have you been with us? Since May of last year. Before I get further, Julie recommitted her life to Christ since September, is that right? And Kelsey, I had the privilege of being able to lead Kelsey to prayer through the prayer of salvation with brother and mother. And then I believe Bailey gave his life to Christ one Wednesday night in the class back there with Mike, is that right? So again, folks, this is why we do what we do. I know that you hear many opinions about what we do and why we do it and is it a good idea. I would just say, with anything in life, just judge it by its fruits. I would care less about the way and the methods of things and care more about the results. And if you work in any kind of corporate environment, they're much more concerned typically about the results that you get than the ways that you get it done. So we're going to get that done, hopefully, over and over and over, and multiply those numbers over and over, and ask God to give us the grace to know the ways, the methods to get there. But those are far inferior to the results. So this is what Terry had to say. She said, earlier in the week, Scott asked the question, what has the bridge done for you? Trying to put words to paper is not an easy thing for me to do, as I've went through the week wondering how to put into words how much this church has done for me in just over a year. I tend to tear up. I have not only grown as a person, both mentally and spiritually. I have begun to read the Bible and now understand what I am reading. Also, this past spring, I rededicated my life to God. This church not only makes me feel welcome every time I show up, but has taught me I can come dressed any way I want and still feel the love. God loves us for who we are, not what we have. We are all His children and loved unconditionally. Words cannot begin to express the feeling I have on any given Sunday. My daughter is with me. As Scott is preaching his service, she leans over and whispers, "Mommy's talking right to us." That's us Scott's talking about, with so much excitement knowing she's getting it. And since I started attending the Bridge, I've grown closer to God and I can feel all the broken... I can feel all the broken pieces of my heart starting to heal and mend back to a whole. And I'm so very grateful for that. I've never been so happy that all my broken roads have led me straight to the Bridge. I love all of you so very much. And we love you, Terry. I feel a Rascal Flatts song coming on, don't you? And so, without further ado, Missy Tully, would you join us on the stage? And Missy is one of the most faithful, loyal members of the Bridge. She's going to stage jump. Well, you take the steps if you want. And grab a seat, make yourself comfortable. And Missy, how long have you been with us, Missy?
17 years.
17 years, great. And so Missy has something she wants to share. And so here's a microphone for you.
Thank you.
She's so excited about this.
Was during worship that God was really wanting me to stand up and testify, and I didn't. So I've been miserable since. So when Scott pretty much volunteered me to come up, I had to, even though this is one of the hardest things. I'm not good at sitting up in front of people and pouring my heart out. But some of you may know, and some of you may not know, that my mother has Alzheimer's. And she was diagnosed actually probably 10 years ago, but over the past 5 years, it really progressed, and she's been in a memory care unit for the past year. 9 times out of 10, she does not know who any of us are, but it was on June 25th, it was a Wednesday morning. We got the phone call that she was found in her room, non-responsive. When we got to the hospital, she was completely unconscious. She did not respond to touch. She did not respond to voices, anything. And they did a CAT scan on her, and we were waiting all the way up until the evening for the doctor to come in, and it was probably about 6:30 on Wednesday evening, 20 after 6, the neurologist came in, and we were all sitting there, and she told us that she really felt that my mom had a deep brain stroke. And that because of the Alzheimer's, she would not recover. That she would not be able to feed herself. Pretty much what we've seen is the way she was going to be. Well, I wasn't ready to hear that, and I kind of left the room. I was very upset. And the first person that I contacted was Scott. And I think I looked back on my messages. I think it was right about 20 to 7 on a Wednesday for you to please pray that either God would at least put her back to where she was, and the neurologist said that we were going to have to make a decision because of her condition of calling hospice in. And so Scott, you know, said yes, definitely everybody would be praying. And so she stayed this way for about 30 hours, 36 hours. The next day, Scott came into the hospital. Rhonda Skaggs came into the hospital. She had opened up her eyes, but not, I mean, the doctor, again, told us that's just a reaction, that there still was nobody there. And they said that, she did say that the CAT scan came back clear, but that doesn't mean anything, that they needed to do an MRI. So Scott, before Scott left and before Rhonda left, we all gathered around and held hands and prayed. Well, it was, I don't know, was she awake when you were there? I mean, you seen how she was.
Yeah.
It was soon after you guys left, she opened up her eyes again, but this time she, there was somebody there, and I looked at her and I said, Mom, I said, I love you. And she looked at me and she said, I love you too. And it was just, you know, you have a neurologist telling you that there's nobody there, that she has severe brain damage and there's nobody there. But as the evening went on, there was more of my mom there that had been there for years. And one thing as a kid, well, they do this with her at Elmcroft is where she lives, and they're wonderful there. And they can make her laugh by, you know, sticking their tongue out at her, and she'll stick her tongue out back. But that is something that, as a kid, she would never, if I ever did that, she would smack me in the mouth. That was just being disrespectful. But I knew it made her laugh. So that evening, I stuck my tongue out at her, and she looked at me and she said, don't you ever stick your tongue out at me again. And you have to understand that with Alzheimer's, she usually can't put words, it's all gibberish. But she was making sense that evening. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And, you know, the doctor came in the next day, the MRI showed, you know, no stroke, of course. The spinal tap showed nothing. The doctor came in and my mom is wide awake, you know, and she was shocked. And she said, there's no signs of a stroke. And the test showed that what my mom had was a urinary tract infection. And in Alzheimer's patients, that can cause a big deal. That's a real big deal. A little bit of antibiotics, and she, you know, we were afraid she wasn't going to be able to go back to her home at Elmcroft. So she did have to go into rehab, and I think she was in there for 2 days, 3 days, and the therapist said, you know, she's ready to go home. So I wish that I had taken some pictures of her in the hospital that the day that when she was just kind of in and out. And then I took pictures of her when I went to visit her at Elmcroft. And it's the most amazing thing. And I will be going there after I leave here today to go see my mom that is, if not back to where she was, she's back more. And I have to praise God for that because I know that that was him. And I'm not going to let Satan rob me of my testimony. And God's not dead. He's not dead.
Thank you. When I walked into the hospital that day, it was, I'll just be honest, I mean, it didn't look good. I mean, I can say it now, but I just remember looking at her and managing the tension between having faith in God and also knowing that this is bad. this is really bad. I mean, again, you know, to Missy's point, I mean, the neurologist basically said she's done. And, you know, when you hear the words hospice, any of you who know that that is, that means that your time on earth is short. And so, you know, I can just remember we you know, we got around and prayed. And if I think about that collection of people in that prayer line, preachers and grandmas and drug addicts and and it was the Elmcroft lady, was she there at the time? And the lady who, and I don't know, she seemed like a lady of faith, but I don't know, but at any rate, and holding hands with Missy's mother, what's her name? Priscilla. I can't, okay. She's just been Missy's mom for 20 years. And Priscilla, and we just prayed a simple prayer of you were in control, God. And it doesn't really matter what the reports say. We know that you have a final word. And I remember praying exclusively that she get well and go back home. And I believe that sometimes you can allow God to just, the idea would be, so there's two steps here. There's Priscilla wakes back up and gets back to normal at a minimum. And then we kind of figure it out from there. Or, you know, why don't we just, and again, a lot of this comes from the Sun Stand Still series that we've been doing on Wednesday nights, is, well, why not ask for what you really want? And it's not just for mom to kind of snap out of it and not die, but snap out of it, get back better than ever, and go back to the place that she's been living. And so I'm just so amazed at what God's done in their family's life. And I know that it's even bigger than Priscilla. But it's a testimony for you all to hear and for you to carry with you into your friends and family and workplaces to remind you and to testify of how good God is. And so last but certainly not least, I want to ask my cousin, brother-in-law, and sister-in-law to come up here, Mike and Stace, and they've got a testimony to share with you. So hold this mic up to your face.
I have to read mine only because I'm, as Missy said, it's hard to get up here, so I know that mine will be pretty scrambled and probably have some missing pieces, so I'm just going to read mine. We decided to start a family in May of 2011. After trying for a while with no results, we both started to get discouraged. I would always hear of this person's pregnant, that person's pregnant, and would always complain to Mike about it, letting him know how upset I was that everyone else can get pregnant, why can't I? He would always remind me that it's okay and that it will happen when it's supposed to happen. We found out that one of the reasons that we were unsuccessful was because of complications and would require surgery. After the first surgery checkup, unfortunately, the results we received were not what we expected. We were told that there would have to be another surgery before we could continue the process of starting our family. After the second surgery checkup appointment, we were given yet more devastating news. The doctor told us we were not ready, that if we were to get pregnant at that time, the baby probably wouldn't make it. Sadly, there would have to be yet another surgery. After the third surgery, the doctor finally had good news. It was okay to start trying again. Even though the doctor said, sorry, I've messed up here. Even though the doctor said everything was good, we were still unsuccessful. We've had several conversations about adopting at some point. We both agreed that it was definitely something we wanted to do. We just weren't sure when the right time would be. So, since we decided that adoption was finally something we both agreed to do, we decided to go ahead and look into starting the process. It was October of 2012 when I started contacting several adoption agencies, but unfortunately, going this route would have been too expensive. After contacting a county agency, they told me that we would have to foster first because it would be too close to impossible to adopt. Although there were other means to adopt, none of the options were available for us at that time. This was obviously going to be a hard decision because in our heart we knew we just wanted to adopt. After several discussions of what we wanted or felt was the best decision, we decided to go ahead and move on with the process of fostering to adopt. We went through all of the training classes, home studies, and anything else that was required to get licensed. After several months of getting prepared to be licensed, we finally received the license on July 22, 2013. The lady handling our file called us the prior week of getting licensed with information on a child. She gave us the details she had on him, then we had to make a decision. We obviously said yes. It was not very many days at all after we got licensed that we got to meet the beautiful baby boy. He was in the hospital for several weeks after meeting him due to being premature and a few other complications, but we were still able to go visit with him. We visited as much as possible to ensure that he could get to know us, considering he was going to be coming home with us. It was a long few weeks. As each day went by, we wondered if that would be the day we would get to bring him home. When he was born, and for a few weeks after, he was on oxygen and a feeding tube. He ended up having to come home on the oxygen. They took the feeding tube off once he started doing so well on feeding with the bottle. We finally got to bring him home on August 5th of 2013. He was only on the oxygen until September because he was doing so well without it. Even with all the complications he had and everything he went through, he has overcome so much. He is such a fighter. Every doctor's appointment, they always say he's doing so well. He looks so great. He's growing just like he should be. Right now, we are just in the waiting process until the agency can file for permanency, but we believe that this is going to happen. I wanted to tell you our story from the beginning so you can see just how mighty God really is. We've gone through so much trying to start our family. We got discouraged, upset. It wasn't always happy times. Then we decided to go ahead and start the foster to adopt process, and everything happened so quickly. It was like God was saying, I'm here. I have taken care of it for you. All that stuff you had to go through was because I knew Loudon was coming, and I needed you to be able to be there for him. I created him for you. Just like Scott mentioned in the waiting room series, he said, Hannah wanted to be pregnant for so long, and all of those years she couldn't get pregnant. God wasn't telling her no, he was telling her to wait. Then when the time was right, Hannah was able to have a child. This hit home to us because we believe the same thing is true for us. God was not telling us we can't have a children. The time just wasn't right. He knows us better than anyone else, so he knew that when we first started trying, it wasn't the right time. Now there's no doubt in our minds that when we do want to try to continue to extend our family more, it will happen. I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason, and I believe it happens on God's time. Even though sometimes we may get upset and wonder where God is, he's always right there. He knows exactly what he's doing. He not only gave us this beautiful child, but he healed Loudon from so much as well. We are so thankful for what he has done for us, and we cannot thank him enough for bringing Loudon into our lives and letting us finally get that child we have waited for so long. He has been nothing but a blessing to us. We've had the pleasure of having him for almost a year now, and as you can see from the pictures, how far he has come and how exuberant he is. He has brought such joy and happiness to our lives that we never thought was imaginable.
God does what he says. And God can be trusted. And if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, these things will be added unto you. So I just want to encourage you all this morning that if you are in that crossroads of, do I trust God? Do I immerse myself into the not just a church, not just a gathering of people, but do I accept the ways of the kingdom? Am I willing to embrace the ways of the kingdom? That is not, those two things are not necessarily the same, because you can be the king of your own empire. We talked last week about when kingdoms collide, and those kingdoms being the kingdom of you and the kingdom of God. And you can choose to stay on the throne of your kingdom really 7 days a week and maybe take a break, you know, take a little rest, you know, take a smoke break from, you know, on Sundays from 11 to 12:30 or whatever that looks like every 7 days. But really what we're called to do is to come off our own throne and let Jesus sit on it, and that we take our own man-made crowns and that we would cast them at his feet. And we know if we'll do that, if we'll trust him with that, There's nothing that he'll withhold from us. Because as any good father would do, they would not withhold anything that they had from their own children. How much more is God prepared to give us? And I love these stories that we've heard this morning. And I love knowing that God works in and among us every day of our lives. And I'm loving the perspective that I'm hearing from you all as you're continuing to grow and mature in Christ, and that you're trusting this church and trusting the leadership of this church to help guide you and help position you to receive the most of your relationship with God. I have just a few more thoughts before we end today. And again, thank you so much to those who shared with us this morning. Just powerful, powerful testimonies. God wants to do more for you than you thought was possible. He wants to do the miraculous in your life. And I've said this, and I've learned with God, you almost have to be careful what you ask for. But what I've been saying over and over, and Steph and I have been talking about, is I want to be a part of a movement of God that is so crazy that only God could take the credit for it. No one will ever say that it was this great pastor or this great music program or great children's program or great teachers on Wednesday nights or just these wonderful people here who came. That is all going to matter, but the things that God wants to do in our community and the surrounding communities through this church, no one will ever be able to give anyone credit but God. And because of that, we're facing some tough times on a weekly basis as we grow. There's some things that I've been praying for, some workers, some helpers, some musicians, or whatever it looks like. I've been praying diligently, and just when I think I have my hands on one, they kind of slip through the cracks like they're covered in grape jelly. I don't know where that came from, but just go with it. and then it's like we take a step, feel like, well, we're here, we're ready to take off, and then we take a step back. And I know that that's because when I complain to God about that happening, I'm like, God, we were just ready to turn the corner. Our attendance started to pick up. People were starting to get on board. And then, boom, something ugly happens. And I said, God, why are you doing this? He said, you're the one that said you wanted me to do something so big and so miraculous and so powerful that only I could take the credit for it. And so I feel like God is dragging me out onto the limb, onto the ledge of faith with you to say, you know what, we're never going to be able to say it was by our own might, our own will, our own power, but it was only by the Spirit of God doing what he does best. I know that there are many more of you who have stories about what God has rescued you from and times that you felt like you had no hope recently, or whether it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or maybe it was even this morning. I know that I got a message from Julie saying that she was stuck on the side of 68. Hopefully that worked out on the morning here. But I want you to know that the devil is very fearful, not of us gathering on Sunday. That's not that big of a deal. That's been going on for thousands of years. What he's fearful of is that we find out and walk out the fact that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so don't be surprised if you are extra tired on Sundays, if you find that things are getting in the way of your service to God, if you feel like reading the Bible isn't for you, or if you feel like prayer is not that big of a deal, or if you find yourself too busy in life to spend 5 minutes in prayer, don't be surprised if you start to think those things, but understand those thoughts are not of God. Those thoughts are the devil, because he's afraid of what will happen if we can truly all come together in unity and under the power of the blood and the word of our testimony. If you're sitting here this morning wondering why these things aren't happening in your life, I would just say, hold on. As Dad said this morning, the drought's almost over, not just financially, but at least spiritually and emotionally and physically. That God is looking for a people who will hold on in these last days, who will buckle in and say, God, you know, I know things. I am aware that things are not like they should be, but I'm going to trust you in these moments so that I can appreciate you even more when I get to the other side of this valley. And so I want to encourage you that God is no respecter of persons. And we see that in Hebrews 11 and 6, Hebrews 11 and 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. God rewards those who sincerely seek him. Not those believers with benefits that we talked about last week. Those people who sneak in and out and they show up and they really don't give of God, don't really seek God, but they seek his hands. They seek his goodie bag, his treasure chest, and his Santa gift, you know, gift bag. They seek that of God. And then those are the people who kind of circle in and circle out of the fellowship of the faith, of fellowship of faith in the church. And they only come in. God is not looking for that type of believer. He's not. He can't do much with you. Just understand, he still might bless you, but he can't do much with a person who only shows up when they want something of him. But we as believers are people who sincerely and diligently seek him, and that we want him all the time. We want him more than we want his stuff. And while we want him more than his stuff, we're willing to give all of our stuff to him to show that these things, even the stuff that he gives us, we would gladly give back to him for just another piece and taste of his glory. We put yourself in position to be rewarded is how I want to end this morning. Put yourself in position to be rewarded. We put ourselves in position to be rewarded means that as we continue to seek him and put him first and seek his kingdom first and all of his righteousness, he'll begin to unveil to you and open up the curtain of his glory to you, that you might see him do mighty things in your life. And the more that you press in, the more of himself that he'll show you. And the more that you press in, the more he'll give you. And then the more that you press in, the further and further that you press in with God, the further and further that you press in with God, you'll want less of his stuff and more of him. Less of his stuff and more of him. I think I said it earlier this week. I don't need a God who fixes all my problems as much as I need a God who loves me so deeply that my problems don't seem like problems at all. Paul talks about the secret. I've got the secret of contentment. The secret. Whether I'm rich or poor, well-fed or hungry, you're laying in a cozy bedroom in prison. Lots of friends, no friends. I'm just perfectly content in him. And who I am in him. And who he is. And what he's done for me. And the depth of which he rescued me from my own sinfulness. Quick plug for a series coming in September called The B-Sides. It's going to be one of the most powerful series we've ever experienced as a church, because I'm going to enlist more of you to tell your stories. And not just the stories about what God has done, but what the stories I'm looking for, the stories of men named Saul, who went from town to town persecuting the believer. And went town to town imprisoning and executing people who said they believe in Jesus. It's that Jesus was God, and Jesus is the Son of God. You know him best as Paul, which is his alter ego. It's his new identity in Christ. Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, a murderer before he came to Christ on that encounter on the road to Damascus. David, murderer. Moses, murderer. These are the heroes of our faith, not because they're so great, but because in spite of their weakness and in spite of their humanity, they just became willing vessels. And if we ever get to the point as a church and as a people of God that we might embrace our own humanity and embrace our own fallibility and embrace the fact that we are just broken, we'll put ourselves in position to be picked, the pieces, as Terry said, the pieces of her heart and pieces of herself, put on the potter's wheel and made whole again. And then God will get the glory because only God would put treasure in jars of clay. So once you prepare for that, you've got 7 weeks, 6 weeks to get some gumption about you and share your story. Uglier the better. The real stories. Not, one time I was driving to Meijer and I flipped somebody the bird. I'm not too ashamed to admit it. Not those stories. Not those stories. Those stories where you woke up and you weren't even sure if you were alive. Those stories when you couldn't remember the person's name in the bed beside you the next morning. Those stories. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm after. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are amazing. By the words of these testimonies, of these witnesses, the verdict is clear. You are good and you are great. You're no respecter of persons, and if we'll seek you, if we'll press into you, and if we'll step down off of our throne of self and we'll find you and become vulnerable and naked in your presence, you're just waiting for the opportunity to make your glory known. So Father, we come to you humbly, swallowed up in your grace and mercy, saying, God, we want to be a people who model love and kindness, to lead the world to repentance around us, and so that when your glory falls on us, we'll never, never, never take it selfishly and think that we deserve it, but we will just gladly embrace it and then pour it out onto other people so that your name and your renown, your fame, will be known in all the earth. My goodness, you're incredible. Let these stories of the church encourage us through this week, Father. Let the stories of this church give us new fire to live for you. There is a reason, there is a purpose, and we know there's a payoff in the sweet by and by, but there is a benefit of walking in your ways right here and right now. These are the tales of the kingdom. And the endings are always happy when we put our faith and trust in you. Because nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from your love. And before I wrap up this morning, I would just ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I never want to let an opportunity like this pass away where we say, you know what, if you have been doing more church, less kingdom, more church, less kingdom, meaning that you kind of live your way and maybe you kind of slide into church, maybe even on a regular basis, maybe even every Sunday. But you find yourself, really, when you really look in the mirror of soul, you really, at the end of the day, we're just going through the motions here. I would just encourage you to cast down your own pride. Accept who you're not so that you can accept who he is. And I'm asking for two things this morning. One is, if you're willing and ready to trade your religion in for real kingdom living. The kingdom living looks like sacrifice and love and forgiveness and mercy, especially when people around us don't deserve it. If that's you and you want to take the next step in the kingdom living, I'm going to ask you to respond to that in just a second. And then the second thing I want you to respond to is if you are here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've never formally made that decision, we do that through the form of a prayer. We pray through the words that give you the pathway to say, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I'm ready to live for Jesus. I'm ready to be a follower and pursue this kingdom. We want to give you an opportunity to make that decision again today also. And so first of all, just ask, and I know this is kind of in your kitchen and maybe on your face a little bit, but again, if you just really have felt through the series so far, the drawing to start living more like a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that you know that you have to relinquish the rights to your throne, to Jesus. I don't know if that's any of you or all of you, but I'm just going to ask you to respond, not to me, but respond to the Holy Spirit this morning. Say, you know what? I need to loosen up my grip on my own life and have the faith to let God lead me and His Spirit lead me on a daily basis. If that's you this morning, just kind of put your hand up just for a moment. Anybody else? I know. I need to let go. I need to let go a little bit here. Anybody else? Anybody else before we pray? I need to let go here. I need to let God use me more, be more present in my life. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to pray in just a second. And then, last but certainly not least, if there's anyone in the room who hasn't formally made a decision that I am accepting and acknowledging the fact that I am a sinner and I can never be good enough to get into heaven, never be good enough to get into the kingdom of God, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross to open that door for me. And I want to accept that and confess it today and become a Christian today and be a follower of Jesus. Is there anyone in the room that hasn't done that yet that wants to do that today? Just kind of raise your hand and we'll know to pray that prayer with you before we leave today. I need to become a Christian. I need to be a follower of Jesus today. Life is not doing what it's supposed to do. I need some help here. And I need to come to new life and resurrection in His name. Anybody? Before we leave, before we pray. Okay. I'm going to pray over those of you who raised your hand and those of you who should have raised your hands, and we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, again, we come to You in Your name, asking that You would help us, and really just to the point, make us aware of the things that we're holding on to selfishly that get in the way of letting You sit on the throne of our lives. The sin, the selfishness, the pride, the ego, the unfaithfulness. We know that You'll do it in a loving way, but make us aware in our everyday lives of times that we're trying to wrestle You out of the throne so that we can sit on it to make us more happy, to make us make our life easier, to make our lives more pleasurable. But we've not been called to a life of ease as much as we've been called to a life of sacrifice, modeled after You, that in that sacrifice people would be inspired by our unselfish love and kindness and be led to repentance in You. And so, Father, I'm just asking for myself included. God knows I need it. You know I need it. And the people in this room, help us become aware of the times that we still struggle to stay on our thrones and that we relinquish that control to You. And if we can trust You, wherever You lead us, through the fire, through the depths, through the valley, You're with us and You'll keep us and save us. And so, Father, I ask You to give us strength. Thank You so much for this church. I'm honored and privileged to be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, love you all. We'll see you next time.
For more information on our church family, visit us at www.iheartthebridge.com and see how we're building bridges to better tomorrows through the love and hope of Jesus.